السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، شيخ سالم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أهلا شيخنا، we're ready when you are إن شاء الله.
I'm ready, الحمد لله.
Let us begin إن شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، وبعد، brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to our sixth lesson of مسائل Al-Jahiliyyah with our Honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. Inshallah, I will pass the mic on the screen to the Sheikh and the Sheikh can begin. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا الشيخ سالم العمري.
جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد my dear brothers and sisters in Islam today is our weekly class مسائل الجاهلية And we are going through the Aqidah of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. Because we haven't finished what he had written regarding what he believed in and what he believes, rahimahullah. He says, we'll continue. وأؤمن بأن نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم خاتم النبيين والمرسلين ولا يصح إيمان عبد حتى يؤمن برسالته ويشهد بنبوته وأن أفضل أمته أبو بكر الصديق ثم عمر الفاروق ثم عثمان ذو النورين ثم علي المرتضى ثم بقية العشرة ثم أهل بدر ثم أهل الشجرة أهل بيعة الرضوان ثم سائر الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأتولى أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأذكر محاسنهم وأترضى عنهم وأستغفر لهم وأكف عن مساويهم وأسكت عما شجر بينهم وأعتقد فضلهم عملا بقوله تعالى والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم وأترضى عن أمهات المؤمنين المطهرات من كل سوء وأقر بكرامات الأولياء وما لهم من المكاشفات إلا أنهم لا يستحقون من حق الله تعالى شيئا ولا يطلب منهم ما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله ولا أشهد لأحد من المسلمين بجنة ولا نار إلا من شهد له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولكني أرجو للمحسن وأخاف على المسيء ولا أكفر أحدا من المسلمين بذنب ولا أخرجه من دائرة الإسلام وأرى الجهاد ماضيا مع كل إمام برا كان أو فاجرا صلاة الجماعة خلفهم جائزة والجهاد ماض منذ بعث الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أن يقاتل آخر هذه الأمة الدجال لا يبطله جور جائر ولا عدل عادل وأرى وجوب السمع والطاعة لأمة المسلمين برهم وفاجرهم ما لم يأمر بمعصية، ومن ولي الخلافة واجتمع عليه الناس ورضوا به وغلبهم بسيفه حتى صار خليفة وجبت طاعته وحرم الخروج عليه، وأرى هجر أهل البدع ومباينتهم حتى يتوبوا، وأحكم عليهم بالظاهر وأكلوا سرائرهم إلى الله، وأعتقد أن كل محدثة في الدين بدعة. Now let us go through this paragraph bit by bit. Okay. And I request all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, to start learning Arabic. He says, وَأُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ. I believe that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the seal of all the prophets and messengers. So this is very essential, the belief of every Muslim, that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam khatim al-nabiyyin, he is the seal of all the prophets. So no prophet is going to come after him, and no messenger will come after him. So the chain has been ended. Ended. And by now you know the difference between the Nabi and the Rasul. The difference between the two, both of them, first of all, what is common, both of them, they receive revelation from Allah. And both of them are commanded to convey what is revealed to them. Okay, because you will come across some definitions and some books that they are saying the Nabi or Prophet is a person who receives the revelation, but he is not commanded to convey it. It is only for him. And that is not true. Okay, Banu Israel, their prophets were ruling them with according to what Allah inspires them, and according to the law beforehand which they have with them. So the difference between the two, what is common, both of them they receive wahi, both of them they convey what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to them, but the difference that a prophet will not come with a new law, with Sharia. So he will follow the Sharia of the messenger of the Rasul who came before him. So he will follow that law. So he's not going to come with a law which will abrogate the previous law. We read in the Bible that Isa alayhi salam said, he said, I came to fulfill the law, to follow the law, not to break the law. He meant the Torah, to follow the Torah of Musa alayhi salam. Because he is sent, Isa alayhi salam, to Bani Israel. So he's one of the prophets of Bani Israel. As he said in the Bible, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. So he was ruling and following the Torah. So the difference between the Nabi and the Rasul is that the Nabi will not come with a new law which will abrogate the law that came before him. So here, وَأُؤْمِنُوا بِأَنَّ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَاتِمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. So Allah sealed the prophethood, so no prophet will come after him. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he gave us a list, he mentioned in the hadith, of the liars, false prophets, imposters, who will come after him. So he said, there will be a number of imposters, false prophets, who people who will come after me, everyone will claim prophethood. The first one was Musaylama at his time, and Sajah, a woman. She claimed also she is a prophetess. Al-Aswad al-Ansi in Yemen. Okay, but Al-Aswad al-Ansi, he repented. And from time to time, you hear someone who claims prophethood, whether it is Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani or Elijah Muhammad, etc. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ, he told us, that there will come after me many people who claim that they are prophets, but they are liars, imposters. Okay? And if someone poses the question that how about Isa alayhi salam, he will come after him. Isa alayhi salam, he will come after him, yes. And he told us, the Prophet, that he is going to come, but he's not going to do anything. He's not going to come with the new law. He will follow the Sharia of the Prophet. Because his coming is to prove to the people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, that they were mistaken when they claimed that they killed him. As Allah said, وَقَوْلِهِمْ أَنَّ قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٌّ مِنْ مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا فَرَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. So this is to prove to them that they killed him not. It appeared to them, it seemed to them, but they didn't kill him. And Allah said, وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا. So when his second coming, this prophecy, this ayah, hasn't been fulfilled, that the people, all the people of the scripture will accept him and believe in him. The Jews did not accept him. So, but they will accept him when he comes back, because he's not going to accept from anyone except al-Islam. That's why, as the Prophet ﷺ and Bukhari said, لَوْ شَكَنَّنْ يَنْزِلْ فِيكُمْ ابْنُ مَرْيَمْ حَكَمًا عَدْلًا بِيَكْسِرُ الصَّلِيبَ يَكْتِرُ الْخِنْزِيرُ وَيَضْعُ الْجِزْيَةَ. So it is about time that the son of Mary, Isa alayhi salam, is going to descend, and he will break the cross and kill the swines and refuse to accept the tax or the jizya from the non-Muslims. Either you become Muslims or he will kill them. And that's why when he comes and he will descend in Damascus, Fajr time, Muslims were straightening their rows. Their Imam is al-Mahdi. And he will pray behind the Mahdi. Though the Mahdi will ask him to lead, he said no. So he will pray behind the Mahdi. So he's not going to come with any law. He will follow just the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said when he saw the Sayyidina Umar having few leaves and pages of the Torah and he was reading, he got upset and he said, are you in doubt, O son of Al-Khattab? By Allah, what I have received from Allah, okay, guides you to that which is the most straight. لو كان موسى بن عمران حيا ما وسعه إلا اتباعي. If Moses were alive, he would not have any chance except to follow me. To follow me. Because that is what Allah has taken from all the prophets and messengers. That if the Prophet Muhammad appeared at the time of any one of them, they need to support him and believe in him. So if someone posed that question, you know the answer. وأؤمن بأن نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم خاتم النبيين والمرسلين. So he's the seal of all prophets and messengers, and no one will come after him. The message has been completed. ولا يصح إيمان عبد حتى يؤمن برسالته ويشهد بنبوته. So one's faith will not be valid, will not be sound, will not be correct, any slave, any servant of Allah, until he believes in his messengership and in the message that he brought and his prophethood and testifies to his prophethood. So you have to believe in Islamic message, the message of Islam, and you have to accept him that he is Allah's prophet, and you believe in his prophethood, and you believe in all the prophecies he mentioned, etc. So you believe that he is Rasulullah, and you believe he is Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and that the belief in his messengership and prophethood entails and necessitates that you obey him and follow him. Not you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, then you don't accept what he says. Then you contradict yourself. If you have accepted him as Rasulullah, then you follow him. Because he is Rasulullah. And you accepted him. And he receives wahi from Allah. So whatever he tells you, you say, I hear and I obey. So it's not just something you say, I believe in my heart he's Rasulullah. How about your actions? Are you going to follow his Sharia? Are you going to follow what he says regarding halal and haram? Or do you say no? When it comes to issues of related to our mundane affairs, the secular life, I will not accept what he says. Then you are not a Muslim. You are a kafir. You didn't believe in him. Because if had you believed in him as Rasulullah, then you will follow whatever he tells you. وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم. It's not befitting a believing man or a believing woman when Allah and His Messenger decreed a matter to have a choice. No choice, except we hear and we obey. So don't lie to yourself. I am a Muslim, but you fight Allah's deen. You fight the law of Allah. You reject the law of Allah. You fight the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you claim you are a Muslim. You are not. وَلَا يَصَحُ إِمَانُ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ بِرِسَالَتِهِ وَيَشْهَدُ بِنُبُوَّتِهِ وَأَنَّ أَفْضَلَ أُمَّتِهِ أَبُو بَكْرِ الصَّدِّيقِ. The best of the ummah is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq رضي الله عنه. This is the belief of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singled him out. He chose him to be the companion of his prophet. ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. So Abu Bakr was the second of the two. Abu Bakr and the Prophet in the cave. And behold, when he was telling his companion, so this Abu Bakr, Allah said he is the companion. He is the sahib. إذ يقول لصاحبه. When he was telling his companion, and this is an honor and virtue and merit and credit for Sayyidina Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. Allah chose him from among the rest of the Muslims to be the companion of the Prophet ﷺ during his journey from Mecca to Medina. see the Prophet وسلم, he came to visit Abu Bakr to inform him that Allah gave him the permission to migrate to Medina. So he visited Sayyid Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, came to visit Sayyid Abu Bakr, Dhuhr time, noon. And he told Sayyid Abu Bakr, Allah allowed me, has given me the permission to migrate, to emigrate to Medina. Sayyid Abu Bakr immediately said, companionship. I want to be your companion. He said, yes, you are going to be my companion. And Sayyid Abu Bakr rejoiced. And yet you find some people, they talk evil about Sayyid Abu Bakr. The one that Allah singled him out, Allah chose him to be the companion of his prophet in this dangerous trip. And later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that Abu Bakr to become father-in-law, that the Prophet to marry the daughter of Abu Bakr, Aisha radiallahu anha. Do you think Allah chose Kafir to be the companion of his prophet? A Kafir to be a minister of his prophet? And then to marry a daughter of a Kafir? What's going on? What happened to your minds? Don't you think? Or you want to say, he pretended to be a believer, Abu Bakr. So Allah didn't know that he was not a believer. You now accuse Allah that he was ignorant, okay? Allah chose Abu Bakr because he is a mu'min, a true mu'min. His daughter, a true mu'mina. Allah knew that they're going to die upon the Islam. That's why Allah chose Aisha to be the mother of the believers. The mother of the believers. And chose Abu Bakr to be the companion of his prophet, the minister, and to be also next to him when he died. That today, if you go to give salam to the prophet, you give the salam to Abu Bakr and Umar. They are always with him in the dunya and in the akhirah. وأن أفضل أمته أبو بكر الصديق. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, if the iman of the ummah, iman of the ummah, is put in one side of the scale, in one pan of the scale of the balance, and Abu Bakr on the other, Abu Bakr's iman will outweigh the iman of the rest of the ummah. This is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. This is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq who gave all his wealth fi sabilillah. No one could compete with him. The Prophet ﷺ one day said, "In after the salah, who is fasting today? Abu Bakr raised his hand. Who witnessed janazah today? Abu Bakr raised his hand. Who visited a sick person?" No one except Sayyidina Abu Bakr. When the Prophet ﷺ one day mentioned that the eighth gates of the Jannah, the Riyan and the gate of Jihad, etc. So the angels will be calling if this you were busy with Jihad. So the angels will call you, come through this door. This is the door of the Mujahideen. If you are always fasting nafil, this is the door of those observers of fast. Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, will there be a person who will be called by the angels from all the gates? All the gates are calling him. So and so, proceed to this gate. Come here. He said, yes, and you are one of those. This is Abu Bakr Siddiq. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he wanted to compete with him in doing righteous deeds. So one day, he said, today I will defeat Abu Bakr. He got some money. He divided it into two halves. And he came to the Prophet and he said, this is for fi sabilillah, for the cause of Allah. Spend it. The Prophet asked him, how much did you leave for your family? He said, like it. After that, Abu Bakr came. And he said, oh, Prophet of Allah, distribute this for the cause of Allah. He said, how much did you leave for your family? He said, nothing. Allah. That's what I left for them. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu said, I will not compete with you, Abu Bakr. I cannot defeat you. وَأَنَ أَفْضَلْ أُمَّتِهِ أَبُو بَكْرَ الصَّدِّيقِ ثُمَّ عُمَرُ الْفَارُوقِ الله أكبر الفاروق, the one who distinguished by him, through him, between falsehood and the haqq, the truth. This is Umar. The Prophet prayed for the Islam of one of the two and to support the deen by one of the two. أحد العمرين عمر بن الخطاب أو عمر بن هشام أبو جهل. So it was Sayyidina Umar who became Muslim. And from that day, Islam was on the rise. Muslims felt and became strong. This is Umar. When he wanted to emigrate to Medina, he came to the masjid, performed tawaf, openly. And then he told Quraysh, anyone wants his wife to become a widow, and his children to become orphans, let him follow me behind this mountain. Behind this mountain, let him follow me. If he wants his children to become orphans, to lose their father, just follow me. No one followed him. They know him. They know follow. This is Umar. Shaitan runs away when he sees Umar, radiallahu anhu. He is one of the mulhameen, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them vision, ilham. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر. Had there a prophet to come after me, that would be Umar, رضي الله عنه. This is Al-Faruq. He was the gate between the fitan. When Sayyidina Umar in the hadith asked Sayyidina Hudhayfa about the fitan that move like the waves of the sea. He said, there is gate between you and them. Then he asked him, what will happen to that gate? Will it be open or broken? He said, it will be broken. Then he said, it will never be fixed. Who was that gate blocking the fitan? Said Umar. After his death, the fitan started. One day he was giving the khutbah. And then he shouted, Ya Sariyat al-Jabal al-Jabal, Ya Sariyat. Sariyat was in Iraq. While he was giving the khutbah, he shouted, screamed. Subhanallah. This is karama. Because there was an ambush set by the Persians. So the Muslims were about to fall into that ambush. So they heard Allah conveyed the voice of Sayyidina Umar. They heard it in Iraq. Medical. And they sought shelter in the mountain. This is Al-Faruq radiallahu anhu. One day the Prophet was standing on the Mount of Uhud with Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. And Uhud started to move, to shake. The Prophet ﷺ said to Uhud, talk to the mountain. Uthbat. Stop shaking. On top of you, a prophet, and Siddiq, and two martyrs. This is Sayyidina Umar. He was against having the kuffar in Medina. Even if they are doing certain jobs needed. He wanted Medina to be free from all those. The one who assassinated him, the one who stabbed him, the one who killed him, was a Zoroastrian, Magian, Majusi, Abu Lu'lu'a. He stabbed Sayyidina Umar in the Fajr with a sword that was soaked in poison. Sayyidina Umar thought that he was bitten by an animal. And he couldn't continue reading. So he said, asked the one behind him, Abdul Rahman, to lead the Salah. And they took him to his house. Abu Lu'lu'a killed also other Sahaba. And finally they dropped and covered him with the carpet, and then he killed himself. After the salah, the first thing he asked, Asalla an-nas, have the people prayed? They said yes. They gave him milk. The milk started gushing from different parts of his body because the punctures that were made by the sword of Abu Lu'lu'a. Then he sent his son. He formed a committee. He said, now I'm dying. So choose. He made a committee to choose a Khalifa after him. He sent his son Abdullah to Aisha, radiallahu anha, asking her permission to be buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. He found Aisha crying. And he told his son, don't tell her Amir al-Mu'mineen, because I'm not Amir al-Mu'mineen today. If she accepts, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, you bury me in al-Baqiyah with the Muslims. He found Aisha radiallahu anha crying. And when he asked her, she said, I was keeping it for myself to be buried next to my husband, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and my father. But since he asked for it, they had no objection. Subhanallah. When he came back, they told Umar, oh, Abdullah came back. He said, let me sit down. The moment his son entered, he said, what did you say? He said, he agreed. He said, alhamdulillah. And he was lying on pillow. He said to his son, when he was dying, remove this and put my head on the floor. His son was hesitant to do that. He said, do what I tell you, may your mother lose you, lest the Lord of Umar shower mercy to Umar. This is Al-Faruq, radiallahu anhu. A young man came to see him when he was dying. And it happened that this young man, his thobe was long. After he praised Sayyidina Umar and he wanted to leave, he said, my son, raise your izar, raise it. Don't make your izar below your ankles. It is purer for it. It will remain pure and clean. And it pleases your Lord. Till the last minute, he reminds and enjoys what is right and forbids what's wrong. That is Umar radiallahu anhu. Thumma Uthman, the Prophet ﷺ, on the night of the Mi'raj, he saw a palace in the Jannah. Palace in the Jannah. He said, whose palace is this? He said, this belongs to a man from Quraysh. So he said, I thought that was me. They told him, no, it is not yours. This is Umar ibn Khattab. He told Sayyidina Umar, what stopped me from entering it is your jealousy. And Sayyidina Umar wept. This is Al-Faruq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him also to be always with his prophet, buried next to his prophet. His daughter Hafsa was married by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thumma Uthman dhu-Nurayn, Uthman dhu-Nurayn. This is a title. The owner of the two noors, the two lights, because he married two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the first died, he married the second. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, had I got another daughter, I would have given it to you. This is Uthman. The angels feel shy of him. Be shy of him. This is Uthman, who paid the cost and the expenses for the entire army. Yajj al-Usra said, I will pay everything from A to Z. everything. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ said, ما ضر عثمان ما فعل بعد اليوم. Nothing is going to harm Uthman after today. Any sin, it will be totally dissolved in this ocean of Hasanat. This is the Nurayn. The one who was killed, martyred unjustly. Old man, fasting, the criminals entered and killed him while he was reading the Book of Allah. And he told the Muslims, no one should defend me. He was guarded by the Sahaba and the children of the Sahaba. He said, go back. I don't want a drop of blood to be shed because of me. Because of me. He followed to the letter the hadith of the Prophet. And he said, if someone came to kill you, a Muslim came to kill you, and he pulled his sword, and the brightness of his sword make you dazzle, just cover your face and let him do that. Let him kill you. And don't resist. Who will do this? We hardly hear this hadith. Only Umar, Abu Sayyidina Uthman, applied that hadith. We don't hear this hadith. We hear the rest of the hadith. Fight him. If he kills you, you're a martyr. If you kill him, he's going to hell. All that, all the other narrations we know. But this, to cover your face and to stop resisting and don't do anything and become like the best child and best son of Adam, Abel, who was killed by his brother Cain, to be like Habil, who was killed by Qabil. Sayyidina Uthman did that. And those who killed him, we know that fitna and who was behind it, the mastermind, the planner of it, is Abdullah ibn Sabah. Everyone knows that. ثم عثمان ذو النورين ثم علي المرتضى ثم حيدر رضي الله عنه. This lion of Islam, the cousin of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the one who grew up in the household of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the one who volunteered to sleep in his bed on the night of the Hijrah, exposing his life to danger. This is the husband of Zahra. This is the father of Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, radiyallahu anhum. This is Abu Al-Hasan. This is Abu al-Hasan. This is Abu al-Hasan that Sayyidina Umar says, any issue in the absence of Abu al-Hasan will not be resolved. Problems, complex problems, bring Abu al-Hasan for that. These are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, this one will be soaked by the blood of this one. You will be martyred. You will be hit on your head and the blood will fall and soak your beard. That's what happened. عبد الهان وفي عبد الرحمن بن ملجم أو ملجم. This is Ali. This is the one that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on the Ghazwa of Khaybar. He said, tomorrow I will hand over the banner, the flag, to a man. To a man who loves Allah and is loved by Allah. The Sahaba the whole night, each one was praying that he will be the one. To their surprise in the morning, when the Prophet ﷺ finished the salah, everyone was praying that the flag will be given to him. Why? Because this person, he loves Allah, and that is all of them, they love Allah. But the second part, and he is loved by Allah. And Allah will grant victory upon his hand. Sayyidina Umar, he said, I never wish to have to take the banner and the flag except that day. But then to their surprise, all of them, he asked, where is Ali? Where is Abu al-Hasan? Where is my son-in-law? Where is my cousin? Where is the one who's like Aaron to Musa? Like Harun? Where is he? They told him he has eye ailment. He has a problem with his eyes. He cannot see. He sent two men to bring him. And when they brought him, he spat. And this is one of the miracles of the Prophet. He spat into the eyes of Ali and he was healed instantaneously. And he gave him the flag, the banner, and told him, proceed and go. And be quiet. Don't make noise. So that they will take their precautions and they will run and close the gates of their castles, their forts. So the army was proceeding stealthily, quietly, till they entered, and now they are in the midst of the Jews, the dwellings. The Jews were surprised and they screamed, Muhammad wal Khamis, Muhammad wal Khamis. Muhammad and the army. The army is called Al-Khamis. Why it's called Al-Khamis? Not Thursday. Khamis, because the army consists of five sections. Front, rear, right, left, and center. So five divisions. That's why it's called Khamis. And he told him, proceed. And then when you reach, ask them, present to them the da'wah, al-Islam. Jihad is not a goal in itself. Keep this in mind. Jihad is not a goal in itself. Jihad is a means to pave the way for the da'wah. That's it. Jihad is a means to remove the blocks, the obstacles and the barriers. Jihad is a means to remove those who want to put out Allah's light. Jihad is a means to remove those who do not want the people to see the truth and come from the dark and live in light. That's the philosophy and the purpose of jihad. Da'wah precedes the jihad all the time. That's why he said, if Allah guides through you a person, it's better for you than Humr al-Na'am, the red camels. In another narration, better than the whole dunya. This is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. This is the one who killed Marhab, the hero of the Jews on that day. This is Dhulfaqar, the owner of that sword, Sayyidina Ali. On the day of the Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench, when Amr ibn Abdulwudd al-Amiri managed to jump over the trench with his horse. And Amr ibn Wudd al-Amiri was known, one of the bravest men and knights in Arabia. And he started asking anyone to come to fight with me. No one dared to volunteer except Sayyidina Ali. He said, O Prophet of Allah, I will fight him. The Prophet ﷺ told him, sit down, innahu Amr. Don't you know? Who's this? Innahu Amr. He repeated, who will fight him? No one except Ali radiallahu anhu. Let me fight him. Finally, the Prophet ﷺ told him, you go. Amr ibn Abdulwid, when he saw Sayyidina Ali, he said, my son, there are old men there. Your cousins are there. Why they sent you? I don't want to shed your blood, to spill your blood. I don't want to do that. Sayyidina Ali said, but I am eager. I am keen to shed your blood. He provoked him. And then they started fighting. And they were covered by the dust. And finally, they heard the takbir of Sayyidina Ali, that he managed to kill this hero of Arabia, of Quraysh. So here, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, is saying that the best of the Ummah, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, the Sayyidina Umar, the Sayyidina Uthman, the Sayyidina Ali. Thumma baqiyat al-ashara, thumma ahlu badr. This is how the ranks of the Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, then the ten who were giving the news that they will be admitted to the Jannah. So glad tidings were given to them. Thumma ahlu Badr, after that, the people who participated in the Battle of Badr. Because that is the Battle of Badr, where the angels came down to fight along with the Sahaba. اتستغيثون ربكم فاستجاب لكم أني ممدكم بألف من الملائكة مدفين. The Malaika came down fighting. And even the best of the Malaika are the ones who participated in the Battle of Badr. ثم أهل الشجرة أهل بيعة الرضوان. After them, those who gave the allegiance and the bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ under the tree. And there were a few hundreds. And among them, Abu Bakr and Umar and Ali. Uthman was in Mecca because the Prophet ﷺ, he sent Uthman to inform the mushriks that we came to perform the Umrah. And then the rumors came, of course, Quraysh told Sayyidina Uthman, we will not allow them to perform Umrah, but we can allow you. He said, no, I will not do Umrah without my Prophet. And then rumors were spread that Uthman was killed. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he asked the Sahaba to give the bay'ah. Okay, bay'ah under the tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praised those who gave the bay'ah under the tree, all of them. لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة. Allah is pleased with the mu'mineen, the believers who give you their religions, their pledge under the tree. And among them Abu Bakr and Umar. And Allah did not single them out. Okay? And said those are kuffar. They are not included. So Allah رضي الله عنهم. Those who gave the bay'ah, Allah is pleased with them because Allah knew they are mu'min and they are going to die upon the iman. Upon the iman. ثم سائر الصحابة. After that, the rest of the companions, رضي الله عنهم, we love them, we respect them. وأتولى أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أتولى, that means I defend them, I take them as my awliya, they're very close to me because the wali, the one who is very close from the root, waliya, yali, to be next to. So they are very close to us and they're very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have to support them, you have to defend them, and you have to respect them. Because they are the ones who brought the deen to us and carried it. Without the sahaba, the deen would not have reached us. So you don't hate the sahaba of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you don't curse any one of them, and you don't talk evil about any one of them. Always you say, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. And you, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So Allah is pleased with them. Allah said regarding them, wa kullan wa'ada Allahu al-husna. Allah promised all of them al-husna, which is the jannah. And he said, رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. وأتولى أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأذكر محاسنهم. I always mention their virtues, their credits, their merits, their good deeds. This is what you have to mention when you talk about the Sahaba. وأترضى عنهم, and always you say رضي الله عنهم, may Allah be pleased with them. وأستغفر لهم, and I ask Allah to forgive them their mistakes. They are human beings. وأكف عن مساويهم, and I don't mention their drawbacks, their shortcomings. Okay, I don't expose their mistakes and their faults. You don't do that. This is the way of Ahl Sunnah. Because these are the disciples of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَأَكُفُّ عَنْ مَسَاوِيهِمْ وَأَسْكُتُ عَمَّا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And I don't talk about what happened between them. The fight that took place between Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. That fitna which happened and the battle of the Al-Jamal, the camel, etc. Because we know the ones behind that fitna, the ones who behind the killing of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Muawiyah was not against Sayyidina Ali. Sayyidina Muawiyah did not come to fight Sayyidina Ali. That's not true, historically. Sayyidina Muawiyah, he's the closest to Uthman. So he's asking Sayyidina Ali to hand over to him the criminals, those who killed Uthman. Sayyidina Ali had no problem with that, but he's a qadi, he wanted to know exactly who are the real culprits, the criminals, the killers. Because when he asked who killed Uthman, hundreds, they said, all of us killed him. So that's the reason Sayyidina Uthman, Muawiyah, decided to mobilize the troops to kill those who killed Uthman, not to fight Sayyidina Ali. And when they reach Iraq, and that's why our mother came out with them, Aisha, not to fight. They told her, just you are going to be a mediator. When the people see you, they will listen. That's why she came out. So when they reached, they were received well. And they agreed initially. Agreed, Sayyidina Ali agreed that to hand over those whom are suspected to be the criminals, those who killed. But those criminals, they realized that the next day they will be handed over. So they decided to attack the army of the people of Asham at night. And the people of Asham thought that they were betrayed, and the battle took place. And Sayyidina Talha was killed in that battle, and Sayyidina Zubair, Sayyidina Ali told him, reminded him about the hadith that you're going to fight me and you are mistaken wrongly. So Sayyidina Zubair, when he heard that, he decided, he said, okay, I'm going back. And he left. But one of those criminals followed Sayyidina Zubair and killed him. He killed him. He found Sayyidina Zubair taking wudu to pray. He said, I will pray with you. So when Sayyidina Zubair was in the salah, he attacked him. So this is the fitna. So that's why the Salaf, they say, تِلْكَ دِمَا صَانَ اللَّهَ مِنْهَا سِيُوفَنَا فَالنَّصُنْ مِنْهَا أَلْسِنَتِينَ. Allah saved our swords from participating in such fitna, killing such innocent souls, saved our swords from being soaked in such pure blood. So let us hold our tongue from indulging in criticizing and talking about them. وَاعْتَقِدُ فَضْلَهُمْ. I believe that they are virtuous, pious, righteous, acting upon what Allah said. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, those who came after them, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. See, this is what the ayah is instructing us to, what to do. Those who came after the Sahaba, what do they say, the two mu'mineen? Rabbana, our Lord, اغفر لنا, forgive us. والإخواننا, and forgive our brothers. الذين سبقونا بالإيمان, those who preceded us in Iman and accepting the deed. ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا, and do not make our hearts harbor any grudge or ill feeling or malice towards them. For the believers, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, رَبَّنَا, our Lord, إِنَّكَ, most certainly you are, رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, the most benevolent, the most merciful, the most kind. وَأَتَرَضَّ عَنْ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And I ask Allah to be pleased with all the mothers of the mu'mineen, the wives of the Prophet. So whenever I mention them, I say radiallahu anhun. Al-mutahharat, the pure. Anyone accuses any wife of the Prophet, anyone who accuses the wives of the Prophet, he is accusing the Prophet and he is attacking the Prophet's honor. And if you talk about Aisha, that Allah says she is pure and innocent, you are a kafir, no doubt. Because that means you belie what Allah says about her. وَتَرَضَّ عَنْ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْمُطَهَّرَاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ سُوءٍ. The one that Allah purified them and make them chaste, the most chaste women from all evils. You cannot have any trace to attack the honor of the Prophet. They are the most pure and chaste women. وَأَقِرُّ بِكَرَامَاتِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ, and I confess and I believe in the karamat of al-awliya. Karamat is minor miracles happen for the righteous people. And Ahl-Sunnah, they believe in that. like Maryam. Maryam, she is not a prophetess. She's a pious woman. Okay. And in the winter, she will find the fruit of summer, and summer fruit of winter. كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا. So every time Zechariah would enter to her room, he would find this sustenance, this fruit. He asked her, "Where did you get this?" She said, "From Allah." So that's karama for Maryam. Sayyidina Al-Ala ibn al-Hadrami and his army, they walked on the water. On the water. Okay, this is karama. Zanira, she lost her sight in Mecca while they were torturing her. She prayed to Allah to restore her sight, and her sight came back. They locked her in a room and there was no water and food. And every time a bucket of water will come down and she would drink from it. That's karama. وَقِرُوا بِكَرَامَاتِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ And the awliya are the pious, the righteous. And the wali is the one who follows the kitab and sunnah. Not the wali is the one who flies, who walks in hot charcoal and ambers. No. The wali is one who follows and abides by kitab and sunnah. And if something happened, which is miraculous, that is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen the iman of the weak. That's why Imam Shafi'i said, rahimahullah, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمَ الرَّجُلُ يَطِيرُ فِي الْهَوَىٰ أَوْ يَمْشِي عَلَى الْمَاءِ فَلَا تُصَدِّقُوهُ حَتَّى تَعْرُضُوهُ الْكِتَابُ وَالسَّنَّةِ So if you see a man flying in the sky or walking on the water, do not believe him till you check him according to the Kitab and Sunnah. Does he follow Quran and Sunnah or not? If he doesn't and these things happen, shayateen, they help them. That's why you find many of the Sufis, their shuyukh, they say we pray all the five prayers in Mecca. The shayateen, they carry that. Or the Hajj, as Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, that people, they see them in Arafat. And Eid day, they are back. They don't stay the days of the Tashriq and the days of Mina. Shayateen, they carry that. At his time, at the time of Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, there was a man who would jump from the top of the Helak, small mountain in Damascus called Jabal Qasyun, this small mount. He would jump from the top of the mountain and land at the foot of the mountain on the plain unhurt. And the people would say, Waleem, awliya Allah, this is one of Allah's awliya. He said, no, is this one of the awliya of the shaitan? And that's why he wrote his book, Al-Furqan, Bayna Awliya Ar-Rahman wa Awliya Ash-Shaytan, which is translated in English, so read it. The criterion between Allah's awliya, Allah's friends, and the devil's friends. وَمَا لَهُم مِّنَ الْمُكَاشَفَاتِ The mukashafa that some of Allah's awliya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives them this enlightenment, this feeling. They have feelings that something is going to happen. They don't know the ghaib, it's just a feeling. Or gives them the falasa, the insight, by seeing and looking in the face of a person. They can read. And this is gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this farasa and this mukashafa, it happens for the pious and the righteous. But a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him this and blessed him with such blessing, should hide it, should not use it, and should not tell the people about it, so that it will not be fitna for the others. وما لهم من المكاشفات إلا أنهم لا يستحقون من حق الله تعالى شيئا. Those awliya, those holy men, those pious righteous, they are not entitled for the rights of any of the rights of Allah. Which means we don't worship them, we don't ask them to help us regarding things that no human being can do. Okay. To equate them with Allah and think that they are able to do things which only Allah can do. They are not entitled for that, which is what happens nowadays. Okay, you find them, they ask the mashayikh for certain things which only Allah can do, or they come to their tomb, to their graves. A woman would come to the tomb of the saint and say, oh, so and so, bless me with a child, I am barren, I want to have a child. Another one, he would say, oh Allah, oh Sheikh so and so, I am poor, help me. So that is shirk, major shirk takes one out of Islam. But they do these things out of ignorance. إلا أنهم لا يستحقون من حق الله تعالى شيئا ولا يطلب منهم ما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله. You don't ask them things that only Allah can do. Only Allah can do. You don't say, oh, Abdul Qadir Jilani, and you are in London. Whereas Abdul Qadir Jilani doesn't hear you. Another one in America, all of them are calling Abdul Qadir Jilani or calling Al-Hussein. Call Allah, who hears you wherever you are. ولا يطلب منهم ما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله ولا أشهد لأحد من المسلمين بجنة ولا نار إلا من شهد له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the belief of Ahl Sunnah. I do not testify that this person is going to hell or this person is going to heaven, except those the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned, like the 10 who are going to Jannah. Okay. Like the woman who was possessed, and the Prophet ﷺ, he asked the Prophet ﷺ to pray for her, okay, to be cured. He said, okay, I can pray for you and you will be cured. What do you prefer, this or that you remain patient and you'll be in the Jannah? He said, no, I want the Jannah. But ask Allah that when I am possessed, I have the fits, that my awrah should not be shown. He prayed for her. Okay? So this is the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We don't say, this person is going to heaven, this person is going to hell. And subhanAllah, you see the kuffar, they come and interview the mashayikh in their masajids in Europe and America. If a foolish Muslim did something horrible, okay, and they ask them, what do you think? We condemn it. It's not Islamic. No. Say that they're going to hell. Come on. Sheikh, he doesn't own the hellfire, so he can say this person is going to hellfire. Say that. This is what we want to hear from you. Now, Jannah and hell in Allah's hand. وَلَا أَشْهَدُ لَأَحَدٍ مِنْ مُسْلِمِينَ بِجَنَّةٍ وَلَا نَارٍ إِلَّا مَنْ شَهِدَ لَهُ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Even the ones, Muslims who died in the battlefield, we pray, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah accept them as martyrs. وَلَكِنِّي أَرْجُو لِلْمُحْسِنِ وَأَخَافُ عَلَى الْمُسِيءِ. He said here, I pray for the one who did good deeds. May Allah accept his deeds elevated status. And I fear for the sinners, those who committed sins, I fear for them. And I pray for them. But I don't label anyone as a kafir who is going to hellfire. Don't you know that even if a person killed himself, we cannot say he's going to hell. Cannot. That's why we give him burial wash and we perform janaza, and his wife goes through the waiting period, the idda, and the mourning period, and his children inherit him, etc. The one who killed himself at the time of the Prophet, yes, the Prophet did not perform janaza prayer, didn't pray for him. But he told the Muslims, Sallu ala sahibikum, sahibikum, which is a Muslim, he's not a kafir. So the Muslims, they led the funeral prayer. وَلَوْ كَفِرُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِذَنْبٍ Or a Muslim died while he was drinking alcohol. He is a Muslim. We give him the burial wash and we janaza, etc. And we pray for him. وَلَوْ كَفِرُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِذَنْبٍ Listen to this. Those who accuse Muhammad Abdul Wahhab say he labels Muslims and calls them kafirs. He's saying, وَلَوْ كَفِرُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ I do not consider any one of the Muslims as a kafir because of a sin he commits. وَلَا أُخْرِجُهُ مِنْ دَائِرَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ And I do not remove him from the fold of Islam, the circle of Islam. He's a Muslim, though he has sinned. وَأَرَى الْجِهَادَ مَاضِيًا مَعَ كُلِّ إِمَامٍ And I believe that jihad can be performed by behind any Muslim leader. While al jihad madhiyan, jihad should not stop. Jihad will continue under the leadership of any imam, Muslim, whether he is pious or impious. Barran kana aw fajira. And this is the belief of Ahl Sunnah. This is the belief of Ahl Sunnah. وَصَلَاتُ الْجَمَاعَ خَلْفَهُمْ جَائِزَةً See the imams in the past, the leaders, they were the ones who lead the congregational prayers. So you pray behind them. The Sahaba, they prayed behind one of the governor, and he was drunk. And he prayed, I think, the Fajr, 3 rak'ah or more. And when he finished, he said, do you want more? وَصَلَاتُ الْجَمَاعَ خَلْفَهُمْ جَائِزَةً وَالْجِهَادُ مَاضٍ مِنْذُ بَعْثَ اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدًا صلى الله عليه وسلم. Jihad will never cease. Jihad will never stop against the enemies of Islam. منذ بعث الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. But of course, regarding jihad, there should be the conditions of jihad should be fulfilled. منذ بعث الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. From the time that Allah sent His Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أن يقاتل آخر هذه الأمة الدجال. Until the last of this ummah will fight the Antichrist, the first Messiah, الدجال. لا يبطله جور جائر ولا عدل عاد. Okay, cannot be stopped whether because of the tyranny of any tyrant or the justice of any just ruler. وَأَرَى وُجُوبَ السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ And I believe in the total submission to the Muslim leaders, the obligation of obeying and hearing the Muslim leaders. Barrahum wa fajirahum, whether this leader is pious or impious. As long as he is leading, as long as he is the leader, his sins will fall on him. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah was asked, which one you are going to fight with? A Muslim leader who's pious, righteous, but he's weak, or a Muslim leader who's a sinner, has sinned, but he's powerful, strong, skillful. He mastered he's an expert in military tactics, maneuvering, etc. Which one you are going to fight along with? He said, the one who's a sinner. Because he's powerful and strong. And his power and the strength for the Muslims, his sins for him, for himself. That one, his sins will harm no one but himself. But his strength and power is for the Ummah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, Inna Allah yansur hadha ad-deen bi rajul al-fajr wa bi aqwam la khalaqa lahum. Allah supports this deen, and this is a miracle. Bi rajul al-fajr. Rajul fajr, wicked, impious, sinner. Allah supports Islam through him. Wa bi aqwam and people la khalaqa lahum. They have no share in the akhirah. Subhanallah. وَالطَّاعَ لِأَمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَرْهُمْ وَفَاجِرَهُمْ مَا لَمْ يَأْمُرُوا بِمَعْصِيَةٍ. As long as those leaders do not ask me to commit a sin, to do something haram. If they ask me to do something haram, I disobey. وَمَنْ وَلِيَ الْخِلَافَةَ وَيْتَمَى عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ وَرَضُوا بِهِ. Someone who became the Khalifa and the people gave him the bay'ah and accepted him as a Khalifa. وَرَضُوا بِهِ. They are satisfied now, accepting him. وَقَلَبْهُمْ بِسَيْفِهِ. So he became Khalifa by force. By force. حَتَّى صَارَ خَلِيفَ. Not that he was chosen, not by force. But now the people accepted him. Then it is obligatory and mandatory to obey him. And this in our history of Islam is quite common. Many of the Khulafa became Khulafa by power, and the Ummah obeyed. Then it is haram to rebel against him, because security established, justice established, every stability is there, no need for disturbance again. وَأَرَى هَجْرَ أَهْلِ الْبِدَعِ. And I believe that it is mandatory, it is obligatory, it is a must to shun and boycott and abandon the people of innovations. وَمُبَايَنَتُهُمْ. And to be distant, to cut them, and not to interact with them, حَتَّى يَتُوبُ, until they repent and come back to the deen, to the sunnah. وَأَحْكُمُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالظَّاهِرِ. I treat them as they appear to me, as Muslims, depending on the magnitude of their innovation, of their bid'ah. Because not all the innovations, all bid'ah are the same. وَأَكِلُ سَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And I leave, okay, their intentions and what they hold in their hearts to Allah. I don't open their hearts. I treat them as they appear to us, apparently how they look to us, how they pretend. Maybe they pretend, but that's how we treat them. What they hold in their hearts, that is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you know, in the hadith of Usama, when he killed the man, and the Prophet ﷺ told him, you killed him after he said, La ilaha illallah. He said it to save his life. He said, Did you open his heart? No. So this is our Islam. وَأَكِلْ شَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْتَقِدُ أَنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَ فِي الدِّينِ بِدْعَى. And I believe that every innovation in the deen, every invention in the deen is a misguidance, is an innovation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from going astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain treading on the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our ummah to the haqq, and may Allah unite our hearts in the haqq, and may Allah forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance, and may Allah reward you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khaira, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, jazakallahu khair, Sheikh Salim. Brothers and sisters, we will start the question and answers time now. Please raise your hands or send in your questions for us so we can cover them before we end the session. First question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. If a woman asks her parents to communicate with the wali of the brother or the brother himself for marriage, and her father is unable to message the boy or the suitor, will it be haram for her to communicate with the brother for seeking marriage? If she passes to her little brother for contact, is it permissible?
Her father is unable to contact or refuse. Her father is the wali, right?
Yes, Sheikh.
Okay, so what is the father's stance?
If a woman asks her parent to communicate with the wali of brother or the brother himself for marriage, and her father is unable to message the boy or suitor, will it be haram for her to communicate with the brother for seeking marriage? Why is he unable? I'm not sure, Sheikh. They haven't specified this.
Okay, so now the father is unable. Okay, so who's able? Her brother is able, her cousin is able, her uncle is able, someone who's the wali. Because in Islam, the woman is not the one who seeks that and runs after the man. It's the man. She is sought. It's the man who asks for her hand. Okay. So there's no harm for the family. For example, the father, when he receives a good boy, to ask the boy, okay, see this nice child, man, I think he's a good, will be a good husband for my daughter. There's no problem to ask him and to offer. Tell him, I have a daughter. Are you interested to get married? Like Sayyidina Umar did when Hafsa was divorced. He asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and he kept quiet. Then a few days later, the Prophet ﷺ proposed. Then Abu Bakr told Sayyidina Umar, you felt upset with me, right? Because when you offered Hafsa, he said, of course. Said the reason that I did not say anything, because one day I heard the Prophet ﷺ asked what happened to Hafsa. So I felt that he may be interested in marrying her. See how close the Prophet ﷺ and Sayyidina Abu Bakr. So there's no problem for the father or the brother to look for a good husband for their daughters or their sisters. Okay? But for the woman to propose, no, this is not the practice in Islam. Okay? Maybe something indirectly, like if the, you know, the sister of the of this boy and his sister is going, gives him an idea, there's a nice sister and this and that, But then he has to come through the proper channel. But not you approach, the girl approaches the man and say, okay, are you interested? And she offers herself. No, you don't do that. He's not Rasulullah, alayhi salatu wasalam. If someone wanted to use the argument that Khadija didn't go and ask him, marry me, indirectly. So a woman came, said, why don't you get married? He said, who will accept me? He said, how about Khadija? Will she accept? And then everything went through the proper channel. He and his uncles, they went and proposed. Okay? It's not that Khadija came and said, okay, marry me. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. Just a reminder to Sheikh regarding my question on Friday about the dalil for the khatib holding the cane while on the minbar.
Okay, good, good. I'm old man, you see? So that's why I need someone to remind me. Okay. Well, there is a narration, and this narration, some of the scholars of hadith, like our Sheikh, authenticated the narration that the Prophet ﷺ had something he stands against. Okay. And this is the opinion of the three madhabs, Maliki, Shafi'i, and Hanbali. Hanafi madhab say no. It is not sunnah to have this, the cane or the stick or some, the sword, okay. So we should not make fuss of this, okay? If a man had the stick, but you cannot say it is mandatory, you have to hold the stick or the cane when you give the khutbah. We cannot say that. I hope this answered the question.
Yes, Sheikh, inshallah, that answers the question. We go to the next question. Assalamu alaikum, dear Sheikh. We know calling our mothers of mu'mineen, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, and our mother of blood. So what about others calling them mother, like mother of in-law and stepmother, etc.? Is it right or not?
The wives of the Prophet, they are the mothers of the believers. Okay. So it's okay to say our mother Aisha, our mother Hafsa, our mother Juwayriya, our mother Saud, etc. Regarding mother-in-law, we don't call her mother. You don't call her mother. We call her khala, auntie. That's what you call her. But we don't call her mother. But this is how the kuffar, they have this system, mother-in-law and father-in-law, etc. So we have our own Islamic terminologies. Okay. So the father of my wife is my uncle. Okay. Is this clear to the questioner?
Allah, Sheikh, it is clear. Next question. What about if a mother has shares in heritancy with her sisters and brothers, but she passed away and left the wealth before it was not divided, and her children need to get the shares that left the mother, and the families that left of the wealthy are not ready to do that? Okay. Dear Honorable Sheikh, what about if a mother was having shares of inheritance with her sisters and brothers, but she passed away and left the wealth before it was not divided, and her children need to get the shares that was left by the mother, and the families that left of the wealth are not ready to do that.
This is a problem normally takes place when people delay the distribution of the tariqah, the wealth the deceased left. Then if someone dies, then it becomes complex. So what Muslims should do when someone died, the tariqah, the wealth, the property, whatever, everyone should get his share immediately. So now this one, he had shares and she died. Okay, that is her right. And they have to give it to her children. So you ask them, our mother died and she didn't take her share. And now we are the ones, the legitimate heirs. So we need the share of our mother. If they say no, then they can't file a case in the court and they will get the right of their mother. Is this clear to the questioner?
I'll like this clear, Sheikh. We'll go to the next question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. If I understood well, Isa's law didn't abrogate the laws of Musa alayhi salam. Is that correct?
Not totally. A few things they were abrogated, but the entire law remained. This clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it's clear, Sheikh. We'll go to the next question. This is a question on behalf of some brother. If it is long, please forward it to the Sheikh, okay? A group of brothers contribute every month in order to start different halal businesses. The question is on their rules, an excluded member doesn't take back all his money invested. The same for a member that willingly exits the group. A deceased spot is inherited to family members. Is this halal?
I didn't get the question in the first place.
Okay. So, Sheikh, what the person is trying to say is that people come together and they contribute every month so that they can put their money together and start different businesses. Okay? Now, the question is that they have rules for those people who are being part of this type of group of investors. And amongst the rules, if someone willingly leaves the group, then he does not get his share. And also, if someone passes away from the group members, then their family member will inherit the share.
See, this practice, which is, I think, global, group will come together. And especially sometimes teachers or colleagues, and everyone will contribute monthly. You give this, for example, 1,000, 1,000, and there are 10. So every month, everyone will take 10,000. Okay? This is actually a loan for a loan. A loan for a loan. Okay? So I give you a loan, and then you give me a loan. So Muslims should not do this. Should not this. And this is a loan that brings benefit to you. So stop practicing this. I know it is common, rampant, worldwide, Muslims are doing this, but should be avoided. Should be avoided. Because now a person, he something happened to him. He paid 10,000. Okay? And something happened to him, he wants to leave. No. Why? I paid 10,000. Why they become halal for you? On what basis? What basis? This is not permissible. This is not allowed. Muslims should not do that. Next question, please.
Sheikh, that was the final question of tonight's session. If you'd like to conclude, inshallah.
Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds and your deeds, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all the faults and mistakes and ignorance, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status, my dear brothers and sisters, in the dunya and in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. May Allah unite our hearts in the haqq and our ummah in the haqq. Till we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.